Chapter 5. The Adventure of the Roadman. I sat down at the top of a hill and rested. Behind me was a road climbing out of a river valley. In front were 2 kilometers of flat open country. To the left and the right were green hills. 1 kilometer down the road behind me, I could see the smoke from a small house. But otherwise, there was no sign of human life. There were only the sounds of birds singing and water flowing. It was now about 7 o'clock in the morning, and as I waited, I heard the sound of an engine in the air. I realized that I was in a bad position, because I had nowhere to hide. I sat hopelessly as the aeroplane came nearer. It was high at first, but then it came down very low. I could see one of the 2 men looking at me very carefully. Then, suddenly, it went up and disappeared. I had to think quickly. My enemies had found me. So now, I supposed, they would put a circle of men around the hills. They had probably seen my bicycle. So they would expect me to try and escape by road. I found a small lake about 100 meters from the road, and threw the bicycle in. Then I climbed to a higher bit of ground and looked around. There was nowhere to hide. The moor was open, but to me it was like a prison. I started to walk to the north, and as I walked, I saw a car about 15 kilometers away on the road. And in the valley below me, I could see a line of men walking slowly upwards. The north was no good. I turned and began to run southwards. I ran hard, watching the skyline in front of me. And soon I thought I could see distant figures on the hill. I turned again and ran down to the road. If you have enemies all around you, the best plan is to hide, while they search and do not find you. But there was nothing to hide in. Nothing but the moor, the heather, and the white road. Then, in a bend in the road, I found the roadman. He had just started work mending the road when he saw me. "I'm sorry I ever stopped farming," he said. "I was my own boss then. Now I have to do what the government orders, and I'm a prisoner here with aching eyes and a bad back, and my head's going to explode." He was about the same age as me, and wore big black glasses. He started to work again, and then stopped. "I can't do it," he cried. "I'm going back to bed." I asked him what the problem was, although I could guess. "It was my daughter's wedding last night, so we were dancing and drinking until 4 o'clock in the morning. And the new road inspector is coming to visit today. He'll come and not find me, or he'll come and find me like this. Whatever happens, I'm finished." Then I had an idea. "Does this new inspector know you?" "No, he started last week." "Where's your house?" He pointed to the small house I had seen before. "Well, go back to bed," I said, "and sleep in peace. I'll do your job for the day and see the inspector." He stared at me for a minute, then smiled. "You're the man for me. It's an easy job." He pointed to several big heaps of stones along the side of the road. "Just put the stones down all along the edges of the road. My name's Alexander Turnbull, but my friends call me Ecky. If you speak to the inspector politely, he'll be happy. I'll come back at 5 o'clock. I borrowed his glasses and a very dirty hat, and gave him my good clothes. I also borrowed a very old pipe. My new friend walked off slowly to his bed. I hoped he would be inside his house when my enemies arrived. I put as much dirt as possible on my face, hands, and clothes, and rubbed some into my eyes to make them red. My boots did not look like a workman's boots, so I kicked them against the rocks to make them look older. The roadman had left his sandwiches, and I was happy to eat some of them. There was still nothing moving on the road when I started work. After some time, I was getting hot, and I was beginning to count the hours until evening, when I heard a voice and saw a young man in a small car looking at me. "Are you Alexander Turnbull?" he said. "I'm the new road inspector. You're doing these edges well, but there's a soft place about a kilometre down the hill. Don't forget that, will you? Good day now." Clearly, the inspector thought I was the roadman. As time passed, one or two other cars came along the road, and I bought some biscuits from a travelling shop. Finally, a big car stopped, and two men got out and walked towards me. I had seen them before, from the window of the hotel. The fatter of the two looked at me with sharp, bright eyes.
"Good morning," he said. "That's an easy job you've got there." "There are worse jobs and there are better jobs," I said.
I spoke in Alexander Turnbull's strong Scottish accent. The other man was looking at my boots.
"You've very fine boots. Were they made near here?"
"Oh, no, they were made in London.
I was given them by a man who was here on holiday last year."
The fatter man spoke to the other in German.
"Let's move on. This man can't help us."
They did ask one more question.
"Did you see anyone pass early this morning? Either on a bicycle or on foot?"
I pretended to think carefully.
"I wasn't up very early. You see, my daughter got married yesterday and I went to bed late. I looked out of the house at 7 and there was nobody on the road. And I've seen no bicycles this morning."
The thin man gave me a cigar, which I smelt and then put in my pocket. Then they got into the car and were soon out of sight. I continued to work on the road, and I was right to do so. 10 minutes later, they passed again, watching me carefully. I hoped Mr. Turnbull would stay in bed, and I began to wonder what to do next. I couldn't mend roads forever. Just before 5 o'clock, an open touring car came up the road and stopped a few metres from me. The driver wanted to light a cigarette, and by an extraordinary chance, I knew him. His name was Marmaduke Jopley, and he was a man I disliked very much. He was only interested in people with money and in visiting people who lived in beautiful houses in the country. I ran up to the car and took his arm.
"Hello, Jopley."
His mouth opened wide as he looked at me.
"Who are you?"
"My name's Hannay," I said. "You remember me?"
"The murderer!" he cried.
"Yes, and there'll be another murder if you don't help me. Give me your coat and hat."
He did what I asked. He was very frightened. I put his coat and hat on, and put Mr. Turnbull's hat on Jopley's head. I got in the car and started it.
"Now, my friend," I said, "you sit quietly and be a good boy. I'm going to borrow your car for an hour or two."
I enjoyed the drive we had that evening. As we drove through the valley, I noticed some men beside the road, but they didn't look at us. I drove on into the hills, and as it started to get dark, I turned up a small road and stopped in the middle of a lonely moor. I returned the hat and coat to Jopley.
"Thank you very much," I said. "You can be quite useful. Now you better go and find the police."
As I sat on the moor and watched the car's lights disappear, I thought about my new life as a criminal. I was not a murderer, but I had developed a habit of stealing expensive cars.